welcome to the NLSC podcast, your source for basketball video game chatter. I'm Andrew, one of your hosts, and I am joined by Ben, my co-host, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey everyone, good to be back again this week.
And I'm changing up the intro a little bit, Ben, because this is episode number 145, just as like when Jordan came back with 45 and was a little bit different.
Yeah, well,
I'll change it back when we get to episode number 223, yeah. Of course.
Or even 230.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. 230. But 223 is a little bit quicker.
True.
A little bit sooner. A little bit still far away.
Yeah.
But yes, we are back on the air, and we are back to our regular regular time slot this week. So we're very excited about that. In time for the All-Star Weekend in Toronto, the 26th All-Star Weekend, which I'm looking forward to, Ben.
Same. Yeah, it's always a good time of year.
It's. I mean, we'll be talking about that a little bit later on, but it's a shame how some people are kind of cynical about the All-Star Weekend, because I mean, not every weekend can be the best, but there's usually some good highlights, some fun to be had.
Yeah, you know, you're bound to at least, you know, enjoy something from it, surely. I mean, yes, okay, sometimes dunk contest isn't great, or in case of last year's actual game, you know, the three-point...
The impromptu three-point shootout.
Yeah, you know, it sort of killed the vibe of it and stuff like that, so...
But, you know, it happens. So, hopefully it will be a better show this year. I'm looking forward to it anyway. We'll definitely be talking about it next week when we react to it. We have predictions later on this week. But first of all, we're going to get down to business. Our main concern, I guess, on the NLSC is to cover basketball video games. And not a lot of news, Ben. You know, we're at that time where we're waiting for, as we said before, waiting for the preview season to start. And the games have been out a few months and we're playing them. So, we're mostly going to be talking about what we've been doing with the games. But one piece of news, I guess, community-related, it's not from EA or 2K themselves, but something that we've done, is we've tipped off our wishlist season officially. We've been talking about what we want to see in the games, on the podcast, in the forum, and on the social media and whatnot. But we have now created the official wish lists. There we go. I'm having trouble with the King's English tonight. we have created the official wishlist threads in the forum for both NBA Live 17 and NBA 2K17. They are in the Live 16 and 2K16 sections for now, and you can find them stickied at the top of those sections. That's where you can post all your constructive feedback for both games. I've got some information, just basically some rough guidelines for how to best format, put forward your feedback so that it's easiest to read, and so that we can submit it to the respective development teams at Visual Concepts and EA Sports. And as always, be constructive. You know, we've got a whole forum where you can rant and rave if you really want to have a spray about the games, and sometimes they certainly can frustrate us, so don't want to stifle anyone's freedom of speech there. But when it comes to the wishlist threads, keep it on topic, keep it constructive. We want to actually do some good with these threads. So, yeah, go ahead and start posting your feedback. I'm going to start posting mine soon, Ben. I'm still organizing my top lists and some extra feedback I want to send along to my contacts at EA, and some extra stuff. And I'll also post that in the forum as well. I really want to do some detailed lists this year. And as we've spoken about before, with a lot of stuff, with Live 17 in particular, it's now or never. You know, there can't be a next year for a lot of the things that I want to see in this year's game.
Yeah. I agree. I think, you know, if it's next year or year after thing, then it's only going to doom the game further. You know, all that speculation of, you know, will they keep the title, will they keep the license and all that stuff, you know, so.
Yeah. You know, when are we going to see roster editing? When are we going to see, you know, finally some basic functionality that's missing from Dynasty mode? Things like that.
Yep.
As we've said before, I mean, and we'll go into this topic more as the weeks progress. You know, we've talked about it before. Got a lot to cover today as far as the NBA is concerned. We've got some great submissions, mailbag submissions, topic requests. Thank you, as always, for those. But you did. I mean, as we said before, a lot of ideas that we'd love to see in the game, and hopefully we can really start seeing a bulk of them in Live 17. And 2K17 does need to make some improvements as well, but again, 2K on much firmer footing at this time.
Yeah. And wrote a list up for nothing for today, I guess. I mean, I could post it all in the forum, but yeah, I written a list for all of the podcasts tonight of things, so I wasn't too sure if we were going to...
Well, I mean, we can have a quick chat about them. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, because I haven't actually prepared my list because I'm still preparing it. But so, what are your highlights for 2K?
Well,
because I think we've gone into NBA Live a bit more detail because there's a lot more we can talk about with Live being the work in progress that it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, for Live, we'll quickly say again: roster editing, deeper dynasty, improved animations, deeper controls, and what was my other top five? Basically improved artificial intelligence, things like the CPU teammates not coming over to help on defense and leaving the lane wide open, things like that. So that, off the top of my head, those would be the sort of the top five for NBA Live 17.
Okay.
So what about yours for 2K?
For me, it'd be really about refining the game and fixing up a lot of those little nagging issues and stuff like that. You know, I mean, they've already got a lot of depth and all that stuff in there.
Yes.
So...
More the legacy issues, the little quirks and bugs?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's little moments that, you know, we've talked about where the CPU still has control of your player.
Yep.
Instance, you know, player ends up walking in the backcourt even though you're pushing in a forward direction, decides to go backwards, especially on inbound plays. And most of the time we'll end up getting, like, over the back or backcourt violation and stuff. You know, the forcing of the player to the sidelines and stuff on a fast break situations when you'll have a clear lane to the basket, you know, mm-hmm. if you run down the center of the court as such, things like that. Setting screens, like the player tends to spin without moving their feet, so they're kind of like standing on like a lazy Susan in a sense.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, things like that, I mean, it's a small thing, but it sort of breaks the immersion, especially when you've set yourself on a certain angle for the screen. But
yeah, and of course they're trying to make it lifelike, so when you think like that, it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else we got here? Oh, the little...
No scripted story in my career.
I want...
More story branching.
Yeah, you know, where you can choose how you sort of start off. One was...
No Spike Lee.
Yeah. Well, one, you can start off as an international player, you know, and you got a bit of hype.
Yes.
So another could be, you know, just a late draft pick who, you know, how they progress, or, you know, maybe someone who's expected to be a higher draft pick but dropped, and, you know, how they bounce back from that sort of thing. You know, or, you know, that great college player and that, and how they transition into the main game. You know, there's been some good college players, but they hadn't transitioned well into the NBA and all that stuff.
Sure.
So,
did different scenarios.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Different paths. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, in regards to the international aspect of it, with the players in it, have some international accents and stuff, but not the overly stereotypical sort of ones, you know, like the Aussie Bogan.
Oh, no Ocker accent.
Yeah, you know, it's me, Mario, Italian sort of style, you know.
Yeah, it's just
nothing
insultingly stereotypical.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. You know, try and find a mutually respected
version
of the language. And
bring in some voice actors, basically.
Yeah.
Like they did with 2K16, but... just not have Spike Lee write the story. That's
And you know, not, and you can have the option where maybe you want the character to be the whiny bitch, or you know, from like 2K15 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I won't, but
yeah, no,
but
some people.
But then you can take it in that direction.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, absolutely, more RPG based with that.
Yeah,
with the story. Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that. But like you said, there's a lot of depth in the modes already, so sometimes it's hard to come up with things. A lot of things that need to be added, especially compared to NBA Live.
Yeah.
It's probably more those gameplay quirks, the hitch in the dribble, or times when the CPU doesn't really play fair or you feel out of control.
Yeah.
Those like legacy issues that need to be cleaned up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hate the option, or I hate how you know, the CPU's defender shoelace could just graze the ball and you lose all control of it, but you could like sprint full ball into the player's arm and the ball still be perfectly fine in their hands, and even when bouncing it, they won't lose it. You know, things like that, where just kind of those little.
I guess balance issues as well, where the CPU never kind of loses the ball when it drives into traffic, but you lose it too easily. Things like that, where the CPU feels that they've got an unfair advantage, and they kind of have to because they've got to contend with a human brain that can think outside the box and laterally and everything. But at the same time, when it feels too artificial, like there's a bit
controlled and too video game-ish, then
there's a tell in NBA Live, and it's been there in 14 and kind of 15 as well, but certainly 14, definitely 16. When you go to steal a ball, if you haven't timed it correctly, the CPU will perform a dribbling move, so you'll go for the reach and then they'll dribble behind the back like a fake.
Yep.
And you know that, you know, it's kind of predetermined, oh, I wasn't meant to steal it then.
Yep.
And it kind of takes you out of the game, like, oh, well, what am I trying to steal for? I mean, I'm trying to time it right, but the CPU has clearly decided that I'm not getting a steal.
Yeah, and it deters you from playing defense, in, you know, instead of rewarding you for trying to play in-your-face defense and really pressure the CPU and that. So, yeah, I mean, those are just some of the little things.
That's the kind of thing when we are compiling the wish list. I mean, I mentioned this in the news post that I made earlier this evening and also in the threads themselves. When you are giving feedback, as we are discussing, and again, we'll discuss it in more detail as the weeks progress and we continue to compile the feedback, but when you are posting your feedback, don't just say things like better gameplay or deeper dynasty. Say what makes a deeper dynasty or what about the gameplay needs to change to make it better. I mean, you know, make it better. I mean, imagine going to your favorite fast food outlet and saying, give me a tasty meal.
Yep.
You know, you've got to order something specific. I'm not mentioning any names because no one's paying us any money. But so just imagine your favorite franchise, you know, you need to order specifically any restaurant, but that is the mistake we fall into, the trap when it comes to giving feedback. So definitely just be specific, like you and I have been, Ben, with you know, this and that. And again, we will go into more detail. We do have a lot to talk about in this week's show. But one thing I did want to bring up, because as was mentioned in the topic suggestions this week, something that would be great for both games to have would be the All-Star Weekend. And of course, the All-Star game is in both games at the moment, NBA Live and NBA 2K, and NBA 2K also has the three-point shootout and dunk contest in its season, in its depth modes, My League, My GM, etc. But actually having that standalone All-Star Weekend with the full-on presentation and everything, you know, we've talked a little bit about it before, but that was huge when it came along in NBA Live 2005. You know, I love that. It was heavily promoted before the game came out. It's heavily featured in the intro for NBA Live 2005, which you can check out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And rightfully so, because that was awesome. I love what they did with the dunk contest. I don't think any game has done the dunk contest better than Live did it from 2005 to 2009. And yeah, I just love the presentation and everything. It's one of those things that, you know, Pro-Am was supposed to be a hook for Live 16, and it is a really great mode, and I hope that continues to improve and maintain a presence in the game. But All-Star Weekend is something I'd really like to see return.
Yeah, same, you know, and again, I'm on the same boat. I really liked what they did with Pro-Am, and I do hope they expand on it. And the idea I spoke to you, was it probably about 3-4 months, maybe even longer ago, or hang on, you know, the game's been it wasn't long after the game had come out, and was
late September.
You know, expanding
about 4 or 5 months ago,
expanding like the cities to global, so that international appeal of the game. You know, have it in front of like the Eiffel Tower or Sydney Opera House or famous locations like that. Have courts, you know, specially made courts for those sort of things, or iconic courts in these international cities and stuff like that. And you know, it gives a broader appeal upon, you know, just playing in, you know, urban US towns and all that stuff, or urban courts.
Definitely.
In the US. So,
of course, though, it is great that they've got Rucker Park and all those classic venues.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's a toss up which you prefer between those authentic venues or 2K's approach of being able to design your own arena. I mean, there's a case for each, or a case for having both, if possible.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be nice if you could have a custom court, for example, as well as the authentic venues in Pro-Am, but one, maybe one step at a time as far as live is concerned. But no, it's definitely something. But I would like to see the All-Star Weekend return.
Same.
And be a standalone mode so that you could go and have a dunk contest anytime. Because that's the problem with 2K's approach at the moment.
Yep.
You know, you've got to sim through a season to actually get to the contest to play it.
And, you know, to play against a couple of your friends, you know.
Exactly. It's a great two-player mode. So.
Or even four-player.
Or more, of course. Yeah, but I should say multiplayer. Yeah. See, I'm still stuck in, like, 1995. Two Super Nintendo controllers, you know.
Yeah.
Passing them around the room. Come on. Absolutely, though. It's great for multiplayer, and I'd just like to see it return in All-Star mode. What was your favorite dunk? Do you remember doing a favorite dunk in NBA Live?
Generally, the signature go-to one for the final one was a lob off the backboard from the free-throw line, elbow hang.
Yes, yes, or get the armpit hang for the full 50, guaranteed 50 points.
Yep, yep. So yeah, that was, and then pointing out to the crowd and stuff.
Yeah,
I could never do the 720s. I gotta see if I can still figure out how to do that.
I have done the 720 and the 540. They are difficult with the modifiers and the right amount of turns.
Yeah.
To do so. Yeah, practice makes perfect. But even so, it's very easy to stuff up. I think I've only done them in practice. I don't know if I've ever pulled it off in the contest itself. My go-to in the contest, again, you know, a lob followed by the elbow or armpit hang, but also the double East Bay funk dunk, the between the legs twice.
Yep, I used to do that.
Because that's probably the easiest guaranteed 50 you can get, yep. That one.
And there was the flip one that you
did. Yeah, the gymnastic flip, yeah.
Yeah. No, they changed it in 06 from 05. There was a slight variation. There was a couple of dunks that was slightly varied. That was one of them. I think the 06 one had more, it was sort of like a handstand sort of flip thing with the ball in your hand or something like that.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, they added a couple like that. And that was cool that they did that for a couple of years there. And again, don't think any game has done it as well as that approach, and I'd love to see it come back in that form. So, fingers crossed. I mean, that's if EA is looking for a hook, you know, bells and whistles to add to the modes. All-Star Weekend is pretty much, you know, it's a crowd pleaser in real life and in games. So,
I hope
that it can return someday.
And I'd like to see in both teams. I'd love to see that back as well. Like, I'd love to see the use of more of the legends and stuff that they're starting to get.
Definitely.
And I mean, they may not be able to do like the classic teams, like what 2K have done, obviously, with some licensing stuff or whatever may have happened with that agreement. But you know, yeah, just to have generational teams would be
just have the decade all stars. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the historical teams in NBA 2K, obviously they've done a great job with them over the years. But it was pointed out on Reddit, and Dommy73 actually posted the link in the forum to the thread on Reddit. And a list has been compiled of the players that are missing from the historic teams. And, of course, 12 new historic teams were added in NBA 2K16. Just taking a look at some of the lists now. 07 of the 2008 Rockets missing Rafer Alston, Luther Head. Celtics 2008 missing Posey and House, J. Brown. So there's some pretty noteworthy players missing from some of these historic teams. Like the 2004 Pistons are missing Rasheed Wallace, Mehmet Okur, Corliss Williamson, and Mike James. I mean, big parts of the rotation.
Yeah.
2001 Lakers are missing Derek Fisher. Of course, Wallace is missing from the 2000 Blazers. Fisher off the 97 Lakers as well. Byron Russell's not on the Jazz, you know, so it's hard to recreate.
Yeah, you can't.
Show off. Randy Brown, Scott Burrell missing from the Bulls. Eric Snow from the Sonics. Anthony Mason, the late Anthony Mason, not on the 94-95 Knicks. Carl Herrera, not on the Rockets. Stacey King, not on the early 90s Bulls. Let's see, any other. The 84-85 Bulls, no Orlando Woolridge, Gene Banks, or Juwan Oldham. Of course, no Charles Barkley on the Sixers squad. Well, that's kind of the way it's always been. No Pat Riley on the 70s Lakers. So some key players missing, and it makes you wonder. I mean, obviously there are also a lot of historical players in the game headed up by Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and so forth. So it's not like it's not worth doing these at all, but do you think once it gets to a certain point, I mean, look, they've added the 2004 Pistons, and yet they're missing three or four players from the core rotation. And you kind of wonder, was it really worth adding that team when you can't add those key players, including, you know, a starter in Rasheed Wallace?
I think, yeah, I can agree with that. And, you know, it just sort of seems like an unfinished effort sort of thing. So, I don't know.
Like, is it better to not have the team at all as opposed to have it in such incomplete form?
Yeah. You know, if it was like the bench reserves, like position or, yeah, or, you know, position slots like 12, and then you get an injury roster part, then, yeah, that's okay. I mean, I can understand that. But when it's the
key starter,
you know, then you sort of like, well, yeah, you, as a player, you might go, well, what was the point? So, yeah, I can see that side of the argument.
So do you think, I mean, I don't think it's going to get much better with it being able to get all these players into the game. I mean, likeness rights obviously are an issue at this point. So do you think it's come time that maybe the historic teams have had their day, or maybe they should just be whittled down to a few that can be complete, or do you think it's just extra content? So, I mean, it's sort of neither here nor there.
Well,
I mean, I guess it's more important that they get all the current players in the game.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, that being such a problem with NBA Live with the roster updates this year. But,
I mean,
again, people like the historical teams. They want them to be complete. So,
yeah, I think, like, if potentially teams are taken out, it could be that double-edged sword where people would complain that, oh, we used to have this content, one on
yes,
more sort
yeah.
of thing. So, yeah,
people will
complain,
if they're taken out. They'll complain if it's not complete. And some people don't understand that likeness rights are a thing. So it's tough. I mean, I'd probably leave them in there, but I think if you've got teams where you can't add like half of the proper players, then maybe they're not really great candidates to add. Yeah. So,
but yeah, I know there'd be, I know personally there's a few teams that I don't like to see, you know, that haven't been added in and all that stuff. So, you know, taking out that sort of feature entirely in that would kind of suck in that. But yeah, it's you know, I can understand maybe they might not have been able to get the likeness or the rights this year, but well, this year that's just passed and that. But hopefully for the next game, you know, it's like, well,
maybe they can. Yeah, that's the thing. And of course, we don't really have the roster editing tools to really do it properly at the moment. But in theory, with a moddable game, we can put those players in the game. So
yeah.
So we'll see how that goes in future years, you know, whether they do decide whether it's worth keeping it up, whether they'll do cut down the numbers of teams if they lose enough players. I mean, if they lose the rights for enough players, they will have to start removing some teams completely, because otherwise they're just going to be all John Smith and all the other fake players that fill out the rosters. So we'll see how that goes. But speaking of historical teams, I did write a Wayback Wednesday article this week talking about the hidden teams in NBA Live 08. The Easter egg, which the leftover data from, because it seemed like NBA Live 08 was going to have the historical teams at one point, because there's all the data for them in players DBF, and but not, nothing, no art assets, no nothing in the teams database file. But because you remember that was the year NBA Live 08, they introduced the FIBA teams.
Yeah.
And I theorize, and I'm not the first person to suggest it, of course, but talked about the theory in the. In the article Wayback Wednesday this week about how it looks like the FIBA teams, especially because they reference them getting the license late, that the FIBA teams were kind of a backup idea to not being able to put the historical teams in there. So check out that article if you're interested in one of the more fascinating Easter eggs that we've ever discovered, and perhaps useful, especially since I've put some of the players to use for my Ultimate Jordan roster, still in beta. But check it out. It's an interesting topic to go back to. That also brings us to our week in basketball gaming. We've both been playing some basketball games over the past 7 days, or actually it's less since we recorded the podcast. But let's just say the last week. Ben, what have you been doing with basketball games the past week?
Well, as usual, continuing with the my career aspect of it. But
Now you're well past the first season now, aren't you?
yeah, I'm in well into the second season, coming up to All-Star weekend time. I think just sort of around mid-January-ish or something like that, or nearly the end of
Okay.
February. I hadn't really checked the time in the actual calendar to actually see when, but I did notice that, my player is leading in the All-Star voting and all that stuff. So, in terms of in the East and that, so I saw that the other day. So,
So, are you boss, or are you still going by frequency vibrations in your career?
I changed, changed the name, but obviously you still get the word freak two vibrations and all that, or freak and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely changed the nickname as much as I could in that, because I couldn't stand hearing that one as much as
Yeah.
possible. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, and then the last 2 days I've tried a different game mode.
Oh.
Stop the presses. And yeah, I tried. Well, I actually tried to play Pro-Am,
Yes.
but 10 minutes of waiting to get into a lobby, I got five team members and all that, or five people join, and then a couple left. And after 10 minutes, I'm like, "Yeah, this is boring waiting." So
Yeah.
I was like, "All right, let's try a different mode." So I tried.
No $250,000 in a trip to the NBA Finals for you, then.
No. So then I tried my team.
Yep. Because you're not a fan of the card collecting modes.
No, but I wanted to try, like the jersey creation stuff and all that. And
Sure.
so that was one of the modes you could do that, but you have to collect a certain amount of cards first to be able to do that. Plus, I think because the whole pre-order thing, you got certain cards
Yeah,
in
I've
all
got a
that,
Michael Jordan card, yeah.
all that pack and all that. So, finally got to unlock those, I guess, or open those packs.
Yep.
I've bought a few packs to try and unlock the, those creation tools and that I've wanted to experience with. So, still a couple of cards short to be able to do that yet.
With the VC or Real C?
VC and my team, the MT.
A mind to empty points,
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. I
Yep.
had enough for about three of the cheap packs for,
Okay.
and then I've pretty much used most of the remaining couple of thousand of VC that I had to try and boost up the amount of cards in that. I bought one of the Curry packs, like the 7,500 with the real VC,
Okay,
just to
yes.
sort of see what I'd get. Wasn't really anything exciting. I think probably the best thing I got was, like, in terms of player wise, was like Danny Granger.
Okay,
So
yep.
yeah, it wasn't really worth the seven and a half
Yeah,
thousand
sort of when you
VC.
open those packs, you're kind of like, yeah, sometimes
Yeah,
it's
so kind of bummed that,
Yeah.
I could have bought a few more packs, and I probably could have, of the cheaper ones, and I probably could have unlocked those ones that I was that what I was hoping to. So, oh well, lesson learned. And yeah, I mean, it's what, 50,000 VC or so for a couple of good 10 pack sort of things. So I don't know.
Yep.
Takes a while to get back up to that amount. So
Yes. And a lot of VC or MT basically, yeah.
yeah. So yeah, I played to the regular, like when you first start off with the my team, and
Those early challenges, yep.
yeah, and the first one was, that first against Philadelphia. And I lost my first attempt against them, just, and then so I was like, all right. So the second time today, I'll try my second time today, and then yeah, beat 76ers, which is nice. And then I did one of the Gauntlet ones where you play on like the street ball court, and I didn't use my Jordan, obviously, so I kept that and the cards that I was. Because you get to choose one of the cards that you win from, that you have from your thing, and then it was like I think the 2K mobile app sort of thing. So I had like AC Green
That's right, yep.
and some other guy, I can't remember his name. And AC Green was terrible. Like he did nothing. I couldn't score with him. I think he just got like one or two rebounds. That was really it. So I was really disappointed in
Yeah.
having him.
No, did not work out.
No.
Yeah.
And
May have played a whole lot of games in a row,
yeah.
but he's
And I was up against LeBron, Kyrie, and I think it was Bagnari. So, and I had, AC Green. Who was the, that guy, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He could dunk though, and so I got a few nice dunks with him. And then it was Nick Johnson,
Okay.
the Houston Rockets
Yep. So
rookie.
how did that go?
I got beat.
Yeah. It's but I mean at least they got some of the different modes, the
Yeah.
different kind of game modes in my team. I mean that's something they've done with Ultimate Team as well, not to that extent of having like a street court or anything, but kind of having all the different challenges. I like because that's what I've been playing, continue to play Ultimate Team. As I told you before we started recording, picked up a Dante Exum
Yep.
in a pack for the one of the latest coin up challenge. One thing I'd recommend to anyone playing Ultimate Team is to do these seasons because there's all the different challenges. There's the weekly feature challenges, there's the master challenges, there's the rookie challenges, which allow you to get some cards through fairly easy challenges out of the box. But the season ones where you go through and play the 11 game seasons against all the different six divisions, and you can get reward packs for each of the teams. You've got you play them a couple of times, you get a coin rewards, and also you get the pack rewards. And I've got the Pacers and the Bulls rewards, so I've got a Derrick Rose for
Nice.
the specialist Derrick Rose card and a Paul George, so that's a pretty good duo right there. And to go with J.R. Smith, Kevin Garnett, and Willie Cauley-Stein, still running with Big Willie in as the center. And I picked up Ben Gordon in the auction house, so he's my sixth man at the moment, not doing too bad. So got a pretty good team going. I lost a couple of games, and I was really getting frustrated. And then I changed the lineup again and found I had better, I guess, synergy chemistry with the lineup. So that's interesting that you can't just throw together sometimes a lineup that of high-rated players and win a game. You do need to have ones that will complement your style and complement each other. So,
That's kind of good.
I thought that was interesting, and so I've still been enjoying that. I did start a dynasty. Haven't played a game yet. I started with the Bulls, and I signed Ben Gordon because he's a free agent. And I actually decided, okay, I'll do the same thing in 2K. So I started a my league game in 2K. Haven't played a game of that either, but just got it all set up with my rotations and everything. Also signed Ben Gordon. He signed for a lot less in my league, so that's something that EA needs to work out, that some of the free agents do not ask for the mid-level exception when they should definitely be minimum deal guys, veteran minimum. So I did get Gordon in both teams. He was quite happy to sign for the minimum in NBA 2K16, so he's going to be on the bringing him off the bench. And that's basically just because Gordon was a favorite during his decent run with the Bulls back in the day. I've got a Gordon jersey from when I went to the NBA store in New York. All that money I spent on that. And now he's no longer in the league. But he also became such a superstar in my NBA Live 06 dynasty, which I've talked about before. And it's got the thread in the forum if you want to go and check that out, all the coverage I did of that. But because that was such a, I've had fond memories of him with that. I thought, oh well, I'll bring him back and have, have a give him a bit of a second run with the Bulls in both of them, and also kind of try and do the same things in both the Dynasty and the My League, and kind of see how it works out a bit differently. So I thought that'd be an interesting experiment because I've never really done that before. So that's what I've got. That's got that to go on with along with my Ultimate Team, and I do need to get back into my career, but I'm still, I think I'm still in the college stage. I'm just that not into the story, I guess, but yeah. So Ultimate Team and the Dynasty and My League are kind of what I'm focusing on doing right now. So yeah, fun times ahead until the previous season and NBA Live 17 and NBA 2K17 come out, I guess.
Plan to try that It was my league, the one that I was wanting to try, wasn't one that
Yeah,
get.
that my GM's the one with VC and more.
So yeah, I'll probably try that in a few more weeks. Want to catch up on a few other things and stuff beforehand before I get, I don't want to say bogged down, but settled down into doing that. So yeah, it's
You
just
got, I mean, you got
it's
to
a timing
come,
thing. Just
yeah,
it's.
really get immersed in those modes. So sometimes you need to take the time. But so I guess that's our week in basketball gaming. What's yours been like? You can tell us in the comments or in the forum, of course. And we'll keep talking about what we're playing and maybe throw out some tips or observations as we continue to go and play those games. I know you're happy to be back with your PS4 still, Ben. So not just for the basketball games, but all the other games as well.
That's true.
I know you had a nice time away, but gamers, we kind of miss our hardware when we have to, when we go camping or go on holiday or something. We're ready to game when we come back. So
That's true.
sure you're enjoying that.
Well, the Mario Kart game I just remembered that I had just before we were recording, and that I had, what was it, 52 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, and 6 blocks.
Okay. So, well, that's thrown in the gauntlet. I'm going to have to pick up my career now and find out what I can do. I'm a guard, though, so it's going to have to be like a 2020 game with 20 assists or
Well,
something.
I think I've set mine as a shooting guard position, so yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm only a 6-4 combo guard, so I might have to do it with assists, maybe steal. So we'll see. Got a lot of topic suggestions this week. We might have to leave a couple off, but we did get a question that I want to answer. There is a couple of people who have expressed interest in doing something about the history of franchise modes, Dynasty and everything. I kind of actually want to do a video series on that, but we will talk a little bit about it on the podcast in a future show. I think that might be something we might have to do a bit more preparation for to really talk about that and some of our, maybe in a special episode. But one question that I did want to get to this week, it's a community-related one, and I do encourage you to ask us questions about the site of the community so we can reflect on some funny moments or history of the site for those newcomers who may be interested in the olden days. And I certainly go a fair way back in the community myself, as do you, Ben. But sort of asking about a brief history of the site and how we came to be involved with it. I've discussed it before, and of course, it's going to then do a whole spiel about that. But basically, the NLSC was founded in 1996 by Tim Turner, Lutz van Hasselt, and Brian Smith. If you go back to our 100th episode, I actually spoke to Tim, one of the original founders. He joined us for an interview on that show. Definitely recommend checking that out. It's also on our YouTube channel if you just want to check that out. Just that interview. He gave me the job in 2001 when he actually went to work for EA Sports on the NBA Live series. He asked me to take over if I'd be interested in taking over the site, and of course I was. I was running a site called the NBA Live Domain that I created myself on GeoCities way back in the
Ah,
day.
the good old
Way back in the day,
GeoCities.
yeah, GeoCities. I'd originally found the NLSC via Alta Vista in 1997. Not Google, Alta Vista,
Ooh,
the
yeah.
search engine. It was the NBA Live Series Center at the time. We just go by NLSC these days because, of course, we're covering more than just NBA Live. And yeah, it became one of my favorite sites because I found, wow, my Michael Jordan in NBA Live 96 doesn't need to be a generic created player with no bio data. He can actually have driver information and I can change all this other stuff and give him a date of birth. And yeah, I was just really drawn in by patching and I was making my own patches, running my own site, the NBA Live Domain, and getting involved in the community. And then I took over the NLSC in August of 2001. And I think I mentioned the 14th anniversary last year on the podcast as well. And yeah, so I've just been running it ever since, basically. And it was kind of the patching that got me into the scene, really, of the PC basketball gaming and the NLSC, and came to love the site and eventually came to run it. And I know, Ben, I hired you, so to speak, for all the money I pay you. You'd just been named, because you had been around the community for a while, but you'd been named or picked as a moderator over in the Fisher boards pretty much the same week that I said, hey, do you want to also join us as a patcher and moderator? So that's why I also kind of put you on at the same time as you were doing that, as I recall.
Yeah, that was like, I think within about 3 days of getting the offer from EA, which was, I think, around April 21st or 24th, between that period when in 2009 when I got asked. So yeah,
It's going back a bit now, yeah.
yeah, But, you know, I've been around the community since late 2002, just after Live 03 came out, or 2003. And, yes, how I sort of found out about the site was, just started playing the PC version of Live 2003 and asked my mate, you know, oh, is there a site? You know, there should be a site where, you know, you can download like shoe patches and stuff like that. And my mate said there
Yep, there
was.
was.
Yep.
There
And yeah,
was.
he directed me to the NLSC or NBLF Super Center at the time. And yeah, I originally created an account as someone else, and I think for a couple of days I ran that account, and then I kind of must have said something that ticked off someone or something like that, and I was
Yeah.
like changed the net or set up a new account.
Yep.
And yeah, I have stuck.
The truth comes out now.
Well, I have mentioned it before. But
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
it was but yeah, stuck with that. I mean, I've changed my name a couple of times, obviously. And yeah, continued to piss off a few people here and there, but and especially what was the other guy's sites?
Dot org, NBALive.org.
Yeah, those guys. And you know, when I first started up, my site was something like Dragonwear Patches or something like that.
Okay, yep.
And you know, I started off with some clothing, like and accessories and jewelry and stuff like that for NBA Live 2003 and street mods and stuff that we used to do. Then Mickey, he started up fourthquarter.net, and
Yep.
I became, let's
You were Dragon 4Q
yeah,
for a while. Yep.
that's that name still exists in terms of my being my PSN name, so
That's right, yeah.
I can't wait for.
It actually came up in my Facebook memories when I posted posted the other day. It was the Dragon 4Q has purchased numerous weapons. Should I be worried, Ben? It's just no, that's GTA 5. So
And yeah, so I mean, I'm kind of waiting for that moment when in PSN you'll be able to change your username, because I mean, I'm kind of over that one. But you know, I mean, it has history, so. And I kept it for a little while. Mickey ended up, you know, leaving the patching community site, and then so I ended up becoming the administrator for fourthquarter.net. And I think it was just after 2006, you know, you and I had started talking about sort of merging a lot of content and stuff like that. So the communication between us had been going on for a little while, and then yeah, ultimately I got offered the moderator role for EA after I think just a couple of posts and stuff like that. And then you at the same time had asked me, and I was like, yeah, happy to take on both positions and that.
Yeah, so join up and release some work for us and
Yeah.
ultimately join the podcast because we thought you were quitting.
I
So
was here for my own eulogy in that sense, and yeah, because
we brought you on board, and yeah, you've been host well, co-host ever since. So
been hard to pretty much get rid of, except for a couple of weeks when I had a work schedule.
yeah, then it was just Jas Ming and I
Yeah.
doing the duo. Yeah, I've podcasted with it pretty much everybody on the site now. So everyone who's just gone on, we have had Leon on for a while, for a couple of episodes there. So no, and of course it's been great having you on the site and everything. And I'm we have had friction with former team members before, sadly, in the past, kind of the way it goes online. But I've always thought we've had a pretty good group of contributors. And we do have a couple of former staff members who I still consider a part of the NLSC family, Leftos and Jas Ming, still hanging around, and always happy to see them, despite when they can drop by. I say despite how busy they are, that they can still make time for us. That's awesome.
There's no friction thing there, so don't read
No,
anything.
no friction there, except when the Pistons beat the Bulls or the Celtics beat the Bulls, and then they rub it in, which is their right, I suppose. Because I would do the same thing. Because how many times have we ribbed John about Blacktop? So we bring it on ourselves. We absolutely understand that, John. So we'll talk a bit more about the history here and there. If you've got any other questions, it's always fun to revisit some of those old memories and explain the history of the community. Actually, since you have confessed that a couple of times with the account, I need to confess something as well with an account. Some years back, we had a member who was basically openly bragging about cheating on his girlfriend and having another girl on the side.
Oh, yeah?
And asking us for advice and sort of really getting sort of put out that we weren't supporting him in his cheating ways. And so at one point, an account for Dr. Phil with a Dr. Phil avatar and everything turned up and started giving Dr. Phil-like advice. And yeah, that was me, Dr. Phil. That was my account. So,
well, I remember me and Mickey used to do some stupid stuff with our accounts. You know, we'd have, we did childish things and that. But you know, it was all to be taken in humor.
Yeah, it's
that,
I mean, so. we take the game seriously, and we like to, do a professional level of content, I suppose, in those respects. But you also got to have fun, you know.
Yeah.
We're playing games, having fun. It's hanging out with the like-minded individuals in the community. So, yeah, it's all good. The last, or one of the last topic submissions this week is kind of a hybrid. It's an interesting one because it's kind of talking about both basketball video games and real basketball at the same time. And it's asking, who are some of our favorite fringe NBA players, which underdogs also Rans, have you cheered for? The original question said, have you rooted for? But we're Australian, we can't say that. That means something different. Which sort of underdogs have we cheered for, barracked for? And so which one of them has made your franchise or dynasty? I was thinking about that, and Gary Grant, who played for the Clippers and the Blazers and a couple of other teams, the fun that my cousin and I used to have playing those franchise games back in the day, and watching, because my cousin would come down every holidays and we'd play basketball video games, watch NBA videos, VHS tapes. This is the 90s, remember?
Yep.
So late 90s, early 2000s. So getting tapes from the video store or the ones that we owned. And there was one where Gary Grant, who did have a 20-assist game in the league, incidentally, but he was trying to throw an alley-oop while playing for the Clippers, and it went in for three. And then as he's running back down the court, he's, like, licking his hands and, like, you know, making the shot, like, yeah, I totally meant to shoot that and all that stuff. So he kind of became our mascot player that we'd get in every dynasty or every franchise, I should say. Like, he'd be on the deep bench, and we'd probably usually give him all the accessories as well. Like, he'd kind of be the sort of the fringe player who kind of stuck around, the journeyman player, I suppose.
Yep.
Who would get in franchise mode. Mike Bibby, who's not a fringe player, he had quite a few good years, but he was also another player who I kind of became a fan of for reasons I don't understand now. You know, I talked about last week how I traded John Stockton for him as a silly Utah Jazz franchise.
Yep.
he was a guy like my go-to player to get when I needed to get a solid point guard on a rebuilding team in franchise. Is anybody else? You know, the name that I always mention when talking about 90s bench players is Marty Conlon. it's just a name that's always stuck out in my head. So I guess he's my favorite for that. Have you got any underdogs? I guess they don't have to be from the 90s, but that's kind of all the ones that I'm thinking of. That's when I was a kid and doing all the silly stuff. Brian Scalabrine, come on.
Yeah.
The GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time, Brian Scalabrine.
I didn't play too many dynasties when I was younger and all that stuff because it was mainly, like, you know, just playing against mates and stuff. So, but when I started to and all that and just sort of doing little dynasties on just on the PC versions and stuff like that, I had to make sure that I had Eddie Jones on the team. So, you know, he was my sort of guy that I'd want on the team every time. So, during the times when he was, like, in Memphis and all that stuff and Dallas, and, you know, I'd make sure that I'd get him on my team and that. So, he'd be my starting shooting guard most of the time and that. So, yeah, I had to be sure that he was always on it.
Yep. Any kind of, like, bench warmers in the NBA that you kind of became fans of?
Just
I like Gennaro Pargo was always good in real life, at least value, because he just, you talk about a ball hog. You talk about people, people talk about Michael Jordan and Kobe and everyone being ball hogs, but Pargo, as soon as he got the ball, that was going up. Jordan and Kobe, they got assists, a lot of assists during their career. I don't think that he actually got that many. Well, anyway, I know he got some because he didn't play point guard, but it seemed whenever he was getting the ball, it was going up. And I remember he almost shot the Bulls back into. He scored about 8 points or something in a less than 2 minutes once in a playoff game. Unfortunately, Gilbert Arenas hit the game-winning shot for the Wizards to beat the Bulls in that game. But Pargo was kind of that instant offense guy when he was making them. When he was making them, he was the most entertaining guy to bring off the bench. It's kind of like Aaron Brooks now. So it seems to be those point guards that the Bulls pick up. Observe point guards that just find a way to score in bunches. Yeah.
Well,
Anyone like that for you in real life or video games?
not that I could really think of.
Not a Vachon Leonard fan.
I mainly just tried getting players that I particularly liked, and a lot of them were,
Stars. All stars, or yeah, or prominent players. Probably me too. Yeah, that's why I'm just trying to think. Yeah, your Pargos, Gary Grants, Marty Conlon.
I think things like, when I tried, oh wow, I just stumbled across some old stuff I did for Mark's Orlando Magic Dynasty, so I didn't realize I still had some of that content.
There you go.
So yeah, as I was trying to look up some of my older patches that I still had JPEGs of, like especially the stuff for like the Dynasty, I had like a little, it was a generic roster in that, it wasn't the official lineup, and that, it was players that I was looking at potentially getting. So, I remember having Gary Payton, and he was one of my guys I liked on my team as well. So,
Sure.
yeah, it was,
The glove, yep.
yeah, it was more the guys that I really liked that I was trying to get on the team in that. So, yeah, I just got to try and find where I saved all
Yeah.
those
Well,
files.
I guess those are some of the players we're fans of, and
Yeah.
we kind of got in the franchise and dynasty. So, yeah, that was an interesting topic, especially the hybrid option. So, thank you for that suggestion. That's definitely cool to talk about. Another one we might have to come back to sometime when we've done a little bit of research into those old dynasties. But we have come to the NBA portion of the show. A few things to talk about this week. Of course, All-Star Weekend. We have our predictions coming up. But before we mention that, coaches seem to be dropping like flies at the moment, as Derek Fisher was fired by the New York Knicks, replaced by Kurt Rambis. Also a former Laker, both as a player and a coach. I believe Rambis took over for Del Harris way back in the day, the lockout season when Del Harris got canned. And of course, is it Minnesota he coached in as well?
Possibly, don't quote me on that. I can't remember exactly.
So anyway, he's taken over as the interim, and Fisher is out. And yeah, so I guess no love for Fisher from his former coach, now president of the Knicks, Phil Jackson. And Phil's certainly looking to blow things up. Speculation is that he might walk completely at the end of the season and maybe go back to LA and take a similar role there. What do you make of the firing and those rumors about Phil Jackson?
That team's like a mess anyway, so it's probably no surprise. I suspect they're gonna start rebuilding and stuff anyway, so it was probably gonna happen season's end no matter. So
For all the promise they showed early on with Porzingis, who's kind of hit the rookie wall a little bit, and Melo's an all-star and playing decently, yeah, they certainly are the only team that might be playing more disappointing at the moment is the Bulls, unfortunately. Actually, I just looked it up. Rambis did coach, was the head coach of the Timberwolves 2009 to 2011. So I did get that right. I mean, there's talk that Phil Jackson's going to go after Luke Walton at the end of the season, seeing the kind of job he did with the Warriors, whether he'd want to jump ship the same way Elvin Gentry did last season and get a head coaching gig permanently that's his, and wins that actually go on his record, since they didn't with the Warriors this year. Warriors with the best start through 52 games, incidentally, so certainly on pace for getting that, challenging the 72 and 10. But as far as the Knicks go, not sure about Phil actually walking. I mean, it's one of those things that people speculate about, I suppose, but certainly the rebuilding efforts continue and the dysfunction continues as well in New York.
Yeah, I mean, this that's just yeah, just I've never really seen him been a contender in the last, well, ever since like the Ewing days and that, so
It's been 16, 17 years really,
yep.
since they're really in it to win it. Of course, they made the finals as the eighth seed in 1999, the lockout year.
True.
But since then, since trading Ewing, actually, not so good. It's like the old Babe Ruth curse. You trade that star, and you just like when the Red Sox
Yep.
traded Babe Ruth, and that's about all I know of. Of baseball, and I might even have the team wrong there. Except that he went to the Yankees, that much I do know. Well, that's New York as well, so there you go. My favorite player of all time, Michael Jordan, has been ranked number one, the all-time best player in a current feature over on ESPN, on the NBA on ESPN, which was nice to see. I've always felt that ESPN kind of has a weird bias against Jordan at times. I don't know why, because certainly they are complimentary towards him, but also some of the commentators they've had on there seem to have been anti-Jordan for one reason or another, or at least selling him short. But I guess no surprise. I mean, he is the most common choice for greatest of all time. Perhaps not against some of the older talent, sort of the older fans, I should say, and older commentators. They might go for a Kareem or a Magic, a Bird, a Wilt, of course, or a Russell. But he did get number one in the rankings, which I was happy to see. He was number one. Kareem was number two. LeBron was number three. That's it was kind of surprising that he's that high.
Yeah, and given you'd probably think maybe Kobe Bryant or something.
And Kobe didn't even make the top 10.
No.
Number four was Magic Johnson. Number five, Wilt Chamberlain. Number six, Larry Bird. Number seven, Bill Russell. Eight, Tim Duncan. Nine, Shaquille O'Neal. And 10, Hakeem Olajuwon. Now that's a pretty solid top 10, I would have to say.
Yeah.
I don't know about necessarily the order. My one, two, and three are still Jordan, Bird, Jordan, Magic, and Bird, in that order. One, two, three, four, and five is probably Russell and Kareem. Wilt, I rank a little bit lower because of the lack of clutch ability that's well documented. Of course, he did put up amazing numbers. Got to be in the top 10 somewhere. If you want to put him in the top five, can't really argue that either. I'd put Shaq, Hakeem, and Duncan in there. I'd probably put LeBron in there, but maybe at 10th.
Yeah, and
Probably just simply because he's lost a lot in the finals. I know that's a team thing, but at the same time, he's kind of. I mean, in the 2011 finals, he really just wasn't very impressive.
yeah.
He probably could have beaten the Mavericks then, but he just disappeared in the fourth quarter. And I think the fact that he is 2-4 in the finals kind of definitely works against him in rankings at the moment. If nothing else, I mean, it's, but they had some nice things to say about Michael Jordan in the piece about that. Some interesting facts. Did you know in the 11 seasons in which he played at least 20 games with the Bulls, Jordan finished in the top five of MVP voting 10 times? The exception, his rookie season when he finished sixth. And in the playoffs, strictly going by seeding, Michael Jordan's teams were never upset. Against teams seeded the same or lower, Jordan's teams had a perfect 24-0 series record. So that's kind of why I never. That's why he's on my first pick and my favorite player for many reasons. But the guy won
Yeah.
a lot. So I just sort of don't pick against Jordan when he's got a team around him. Like anyone, he got the job done.
With regards to that list, I was thinking, why LeBron is on there and Kobe isn't. And you think,
With the five rings as opposed to two.
yeah, well, ESPN have had this whole thing with LeBron in terms of basically to the point of almost stalking him in that sense. So I think it's kind of like a little bit of
You think it's a bit of a Homerish pick kind of thing? Like he's their guy. He came to them with a decision special and.
Yeah, you know, and they've made it pretty clear that they're following his career, like from when he went to Miami to back now at Cleveland. You know, so yeah,
that's the really, I guess. So.
So yeah, it's just a potential little bit of bias there in that sort of sense. So
possibly, yeah. I just thought I would mention that because any time I get to talk about Jordan as the greatest, even though he hasn't played in over a decade, is it's fine by me. We've talked about this before, but the NBA is actually considering changing the rules regarding Hacker Whoever. That is drawing some criticism from people who don't think it's a problem. Kobe Bryant has spoken out and said that he thinks it's setting a bad example for the kids. That it's letting it's like rewarding bad free throw shooters. It's or they. Just sorry, I'll just get his actual words on that. Where is it? Just can't find where I posted that. Very strange. I'm just trying to get his exact words on what he said, but basically, it's setting a bad example for the kids, and that it's rewarding bad free throw shooters, letting them. Let him off the hook. And again, my response to that is, doing Hacker Shack or Hacker Whomever is letting a whole team off the hook from playing defense.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it actually, in turn, makes the game ugly. And, you know, it'll deter fans. You know, it just.
Yeah. Sorry, I just found it. Kobe Bryant and changing Hacker rules, that sets a horrible example for the kids. Can't protect guys that can't make free throws. You know. I don't think you should protect teams who don't want to play defense.
Agreed.
And bad free throw shooters are still going to be a liability at the line. I mean, you're not really protecting them so much as they're not going to be shooting free throws they never shoot anyway. You know, I say, look, if they get the ball, you know, you get a guy like DeAndre Jordan gets the ball in the low post or whatever, by all means, foul him. Foul him hard on the shot so he can't make it and has to go to the line. Even wrap him up, and you know, intentionally foul him once he gets the as soon as he gets the ball, wrap him up, send him to the free throw line. You shouldn't be able to foul him 90 feet from the basket when he doesn't have the ball. That's the ridiculous part of it. By all means, hack the guy when he's got the ball in the front court. You know, I actually have no problem with that. That is a sound strategy. It's when you can immediately foul 90 feet from the basket when they don't have the ball. You know, because you don't even have to play defense then. You don't even have to run back. You don't even have to pretend to defend. So. That's what I don't like about the Hacker rule. So if they're going to change that, I'm all for it. And if you want to say it's only just a few players, because that is something that I conceded, but then I thought about it. You know, they changed that backdown rule, the five-second backdown rule. They implemented that because of really two players, Mark Jackson and Charles Barkley. So if you can change the rules for a couple of players there, you can change it for a couple of poor free throw shooters who are not being protected. You know, the whole defense is being protected, yeah.
Yep.
I'll never buy the fact that fouling someone 90 feet from the basket, without the ball, that is a good thing.
No, it is. It turns the game ugly, like we said. You know, it's...
Free throw shooter.
Yeah, you know, the fans are just going to sit in the ground, and after, like, 3-4 attempts of it, you know, from the 90 feet away from the basket thing, your fans are going to get to lose their cool, you know, just because it's not... It's not, well, aside from it not being a sporting factor, you know, it's not entertaining. It's not entertainment. Like,
it's not basketball. Yeah. It's against the rules.
Yeah.
You know, you're not supposed to foul. That's an infraction.
Yeah. you're supposed to be deterred from actually doing it. So.
Yeah, ideally, you know, fouls do happen, and that's why the rules are in place. But ideally, the object is to defend without fouling.
Yeah, to avoid getting the foul.
Yeah, and you might say, oh, well, the aim is to make free throws. Yes, it is, but it's not against the rules to miss a shot. It is against the rules to foul someone. That is the difference that people, you know, the false equivalency that people throw out there. So I'm happy. I'm happy that the league's going to do it. I'd be all for just making the change that you can't do it in the backcourt and without the ball.
If they do, it should be something like a unsportsmanlike or something like that.
Yeah, make it a technical. So it's like, well, you can do it, but it's going to hurt you more than anything else.
You get a way up. Is it worth it in the end?
Well, here's the thing. Normally, when you don't make a play on the ball, it's a flagrant foul.
Yep.
So when you're fouling a player, obviously when you're just wrapping players up, it's not particularly violent, but it's, you know, it's not making, if they don't have the ball and you're wrapping up, you are not making a play on the ball. So it's against the rules, against the spirit of the game. Yeah. cut it out as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to miss that at all. We talked a couple of weeks ago, was it last week, about Blake Griffin?
Yeah.
His incident?
Yeah.
Well, the Clippers have taken some action. They've suspended him for 4 games without pay. He's going to lose over $850,000. They
please,
also
sir, can I...
Sorry?
Please, sir, can I have some?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Nice amount of money that you can afford to lose, isn't it?
Yep.
They'll also dock his pay for an additional game because he broke his shooting hand. So, additional penalty for recklessness there. They're dealing with the incident internally. Apparently, drink was involved. Not surprised, unfortunately, when some people get on the grog that it does turn to violence. Apparently, they're sorting that out. The NBA themselves are not taking any action against Griffin. It's just all being handled in the team. So I guess that's the way it should be.
Yep.
He's expressed remorse for the issue, but yeah, certainly not a good moment for a team that's looking to do good things.
Yeah, you know, definitely adds a slight disruption into it. And yeah, I mean, it's good to see teams handle it, and you know, and yeah, I think probably the right actions are probably about taking it. Obviously, given we don't know what was actually said and that to sort of basically start it and that, so
yeah,
I think given what we know, appropriate action has been taken. You know, if it was any more of an incident, sort of like say what the previous Clippers owner had said and things like, you know, it was caught on tape and stuff like that, then that could be a totally different story and that. But yeah, for this stage,
and if it had been worse, a worse injury to the equipment manager,
yeah.
But it sounds like they're trying to put it behind them and just take the disciplinary action. So that's good. You know, all the best for that, I guess, with the Clippers. I posted this in the forum as well, and I'm going to talk about it in the Friday Five this week, in something I'm going to mention. But the current Clippers kind of remind me of the 2002 Kings in that they kind of play this exciting brand of basketball, but they've got the misfortune of peaking at a time that another team that's come along and at the top of the league, like the Kings came along and they were getting really good, but the Lakers were on top at the time. And then the Spurs, 2003, the Spurs came along as well and they got back on top. And after that, the Spurs remained on top in the West for a couple of years there, 2005 and 2007 as well. Now the Warriors are on top as the Clippers are peaking, and it's kind of unfortunate for the Clippers that maybe their best run, well, definitely their best run in franchise history, is coming at a time when there are other teams that are, you know, standing in the way. It's their time is not their time. Like, well, their best is someone else's time.
Yeah, just an essential unfortunate timing of when their time is. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah. The early 90s Blazers would be another one I'd throw out there. You know, that lost to the Pistons and then the Bulls in the finals.
Yep.
Over a 3-year span. That's another one I throw out there. Just getting, and Drexler did, of course, get his ring with the Rockets 5 years, or 3 years after the 92 finals, of course. But just an interesting comparison, I thought, with some teams from the past. And speaking of embarrassing incidents with players getting a physical, bizarre incident today with Markieff Morris, who continues to be in the news for all the wrong reasons. Got in an altercation with Archie Goodwin on the bench, shoving him and having to be broken apart by other teammates.
Well, yeah, definitely unusual, but given how much we know that Morris wants out, then you must be really pushing the boundaries to really get out of Phoenix by the trade deadline.
Well, throwing the towel didn't really work. No. And so maybe an altercation with a teammate will, but you have to imagine that he's out at this point because it's clear he doesn't want to be there. Not handling it well, regardless of how he feels screwed over by the team, telling him one thing and then doing another as far as trading his twin brother, Marcus. but not handling his business well, but he clearly wants out, so I think they'll grant his wish sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but the consequences of his actions and that, you know, will...
Oh, it doesn't endear him to anyone else.
No, you know, other teams will go, well, how is he going to behave the same way with us kind of thing, you know, if he gets, you know, in a bad mood for something. So, yeah, it'd be a deterrent. You probably couldn't end up seeing himself be playing overseas more than in the actual NBA if, you know, teams don't want to sign him or anything or take the trade on that. So would he get dumped in essentially if they can't trade him?
I mean, I think,
you know, if
possibly, I mean, you know, he's got, I think there'd be takers, to be honest. I mean, players have had worse incidents and ended up even going on to like almost championship teams. So I think he'd find a place in the NBA, but yeah, it's a bit embarrassing to see some of those actions. Definitely not professional at all. So, as we've mentioned a few times, the 2016 All-Star Game, or All-Star Weekend, I should say, in Toronto is this weekend. We are looking forward to it once again. It has come time to make some predictions for that. We've got a couple of prediction segments this week, this one and our usual bowl predictions. So we thought we'd just run down the list real quick. And I'll start off... I'm sorry, Ben, but there's no Shooting Stars contest this year. I know you're heartbroken.
Oh, I'm shattered. I'm shattered. Absolutely shattered.
Yeah, it was about time. It kind of ran its course, I think.
Yep.
So we'll start off with the Skills Challenge. I'd actually probably start with the Rising Stars Challenge, since that's All-Star Friday. So it is Team World versus Team USA. We ran down the rosters the other week. I'm still going with Team USA myself.
I think that's who I had chosen as well, wasn't it? I can't even remember now.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to remember who I was going for with that earlier. Didn't have enough time to go back to that podcast and find out. So, I think I'll stick with the Team USA on that one.
It's a solid prediction, I feel.
Yep.
Moving on to the Skills Challenge. Interestingly, we actually forgot to mention the participants last week when we were talking about giving some of our preliminary predictions. The Skills Challenge will have a few bigs in it this year. DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, and Karl Anthony Towns, all 6'10 or larger, will be competing. So that's either going to be very entertaining or very ugly to watch, or perhaps both entertaining because it's so ugly. Some of those passes may not be on as silky smooth as some of the point guards in the contest. But they will be joined by Patrick Beverley, Jordan Clarkson, CJ McCollum, Isaiah Thomas, that is of the Boston Celtics, not the retired Detroit Pistons Hall of Famer, and Draymond Green, who is putting up huge numbers and is in the All-Star game, of course. Who do you like in that field?
Oh. What was the names again? Here we got... Sorry, I should have put
that. Patrick Beverley, Jordan Clarkson, CJ McCollum, Isaiah Thomas, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, and Karl Anthony Towns.
Possibly CJ McCollum.
Yeah, he's having a good season.
Yeah.
I kind of want to pick one of the bigs just to see, you know.
The wild card.
Wild card choice. I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics.
Yeah,
I think he's got the speed.
I think he was my second choice. Yeah, he would have been my second choice.
Yeah, I'll go with Thomas. So Thomas versus McCollum maybe in the finals. Let's see. We didn't do the celebrity game. That's Team USA versus Team Canada this year.
I can't remember all the people that were in it. From memory, there wasn't anyone overly exciting, so... Yeah.
No. Well, Drake is coaching Team Canada.
Yeah, well, USA then. I've seen Drake shoot. That's answer enough right there.
Kevin Hart is coaching Team USA. We've seen him shoot as well.
Yeah.
I'll go Team USA, Muggsy Bogues, Chauncey Billups. Yeah, Team USA.
Yeah, enough said.
So, let's see, the three-point contest. Let's see, Devin Booker, Chris Bosh, Stephen Curry, James Harden, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, JJ Redick, Klay Thompson. I'm still saying Curry.
Yeah, I think safe bet Curry. Dark Horse I said was Bosch, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think you did, yes.
Yep.
Was my dark horse was Middleton, I think,
Yeah, I think it
from
was, yeah.
memory. I'll stick with Middleton as the as my dark horse choice. Now the slam dunk contest, the main event of All Star Saturday. That's Zach LaVine, Will Barton, Aaron Gordon, and Andre Drummond. I'm also still going to go with Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I think he'll go back to back. Barton could be interesting because of his height factor. But yeah, I think there's that curiosity to see what Drummond will do. And just as long as it's more entertaining what Greek Freak did. Sorry about
Yep.
this, but yeah, that was.
Disappointing considering his athleticism and
Yeah,
creativity. Yeah.
he just didn't show up on the day, really.
Should not show off, no. So that brings us to the main event of the whole weekend, the All-Star Game. And we ran through the participants, of course. The only change is that Jimmy Butler suffered a knee injury, which isn't helping the Bulls right now, I might add. He's been replaced by teammate Pau Gasol, so the Bulls still have a representative.
I was wondering if they had named a replacement, and I forgot to check that.
Pau Gasol.
Okay.
I'm still going with the West, I think. Between Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook in that starting lineup, pretty strong bench as well. Yeah, I still think it's going to be the West by at least 10.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I know I went with the East. I'll still stick with that. Just for a little bit of difference in our predictions, I guess. So, because pretty much most things we've agreed on. So, just for a bit of variety, I'll go with the East.
Okay, so East versus West. We've got our predictions in there, so we'll see how we do as far as the All-Star weekend. We will watch that and enjoy that this year, as we said. But we also have some other responsibilities to make some picks this week, Ben,
Yep.
because it is time for our bold predictions. And I'm 0 of 9. As expected, I picked against the Warriors. The Thunder actually put up a pretty good fight towards the end.
Yep.
They were a couple of blunders late from coming back and winning that game. So future matchups between the Warriors and the Thunder, I think, are going to be pretty fun to watch. So I was at least happy to get a good game. But yes, I am 0 of 9. I don't think I'm going to mention the Warriors in my bold predictions anymore. It doesn't go well. Even when I pick them, it doesn't go well. I think the closest I said was that they would get their fourth loss to someone that wasn't the oh, to the Cavs, but then they ended up getting it, losing to the Pistons. They did get their fourth loss, but I didn't get the point because I wasn't right about who it was,
Well,
so I was
it
close.
was even the one against Philly. You just overshot the score. That was all. So yeah.
By 37
Yeah.
points, yeah. Well, I had to make a bold prediction. I couldn't just the Warriors beating the 76ers is not a bold prediction. I had to,
Yeah.
qualify that
Yeah.
with a score of some kind. But so I'm gonna get on the scoreboard. I'm gonna play it a bit more safely this week for my prediction. And let me just check to see when the actually, I need to check a date on this. So I'll actually get you to give yours first.
Okay. I've been looking at two options. I'm still deciding whether I go with both or just one of them. I'll go bold and I'll go both. I've got a good enough record at the moment to bet the house in this sense. So my predictions, I'll go with two. One is one big name player will be traded by the trade deadline. And the 76ers will beat the Pelicans. So, yeah, I decided to go with both.
Actually, I've just checked, and the trade deadline this year is February 19th. So if we're on time next week, that's going to be after we record. So we need something that's earlier than that. You can probably have to go with the Pelicans game.
I think the Pelicans game is on that same day.
Or February 19th, US time.
Yeah.
We'll be recording February 18th, Australian time.
Okay.
Well, actually, do we even have enough to make the bold predictions? Do we need to make all-star bold
It's
predictions?
gonna have to be because Because even after the All-Star weekend, there's a couple of days off, like a day or two off.
Yep.
So.
Okay, so my bold prediction is Stephen Curry scores 50 points for a set of new record.
Okay. Is that
I'm going back
during.
to the Warriors. I'm going back to the Warriors, so
Is that just during a regular season game or during the All-Star game?
during the All-Star game,
Okay.
because they don't play before we pick it up again.
Okay. I was thinking about going. Someone will have like a ridiculous double-double,
Like a 2020 kind of thing, like
yeah,
Andre Drummond for
yeah,
the 2020 year.
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll go with that one. So.
Someone will have 2020. Okay, so there's our all-star predictions, our bold all-star predictions. We'll see how we do. I've gone bold again. You know what? I actually am gonna pull back on it a little bit. I'm gonna say that Stephen Curry doesn't necessarily get 50. He's gonna beat Wilt's 42, because last year Russell Westbrook had 41 to come between Jordan and Wilt. So I'm gonna say that 43 or more for Curry. How about that? I'll play it a little bit more conservatively.
Yep, all right. I think that's fair.
He's going to come out and score 10 points and have 20 assists, isn't he? So
It's funny. It's like buyer's remorse immediately.
well, you know what? They call bold predictions. I'm going to go bold with them. It's why not? I'm not of nine, you know, like Kobe. I'm just going to keep shooting, and it's going to go down eventually. So yeah, I thought I'd check that date because yeah, it's actually it's going to come after we record next week. So.
Yeah, and yeah, the game that I was looking at was definitely it was on the 19th as well, so definitely couldn't have done that though then. I mean, I probably could have just stuck with because of the trade deadline as well, isn't it? Damn. So that 19th day is too much. Just a day too late. There was something I was going to say, but then I forgot. Oh,
Oh, well, it's getting late.
yep.
So that's our bold predictions for this week and our all-star predictions as well. So we'll see how we do when we record next week. A little bit of, I thought I'd do another trivia question this week. Of course, this is going to be Kobe Bryant's last all-star game. When last time we kind of had a big star retiring in such grand fashion was probably Michael Jordan in 2003. And that was the first game that went into double overtime.
That's right.
The West prevailed at 155 to 145. Kevin Garnett was the MVP with 37 points in that game in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 2003. So the question I'm going to put to you, Ben, is how many games in NBA All-Star history from 1951 through to 2015 have gone into overtime or double overtime?
I'm going to say it's a low number. I don't think it's more than four. I'm willing to say between.
I'll give you three guesses as always.
Okay. First guess will be two.
Higher.
Okay. I'll go what I'll say four.
Higher.
Okay. Seven.
So close, it's six.
Ah, that was what I was gonna. I was like, no, it's probably gonna be that one above it. So I took.
You're gonna go 2, 4, 6, but you went to the seven. No, it's
Yeah.
six. So,
Damn.
well, actually, let me just double check that you're on it right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep, it is six. Yeah, most
Damn.
recently in 2003, double overtime.
I knew I should have gone with the gut on that. And when you first said it was higher. So.
And one of the games, 1987, when the West beat the East 154 to 149, Tom Chambers was the hometown MVP in Seattle, despite the fact that he was not originally selected for the game. He was a replacement. So not a bad way. Of course, he made a couple more All-Star teams after that. And that is bringing us to the end of this week's show. We do have another fun bit of trivia to share with you this week. It came up during the Lakers-Cavs game, the last clash between Kobe and LeBron, heavily hyped all week, as you might imagine. And well, I'll let you read this out, Ben, because I saw it, but you also brought it up to add to the podcast. So, what's the interesting note about LeBron and Kobe?
Okay, they've all played in the last nine finals. but never against each other.
Yeah, I don't think with great players that's ever really happened. Like, I think there was a couple of years in the 80s that it took before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson to finally meet. I think, let's see, 1980 was the Lakers, 81 Celtics over... 1980, Lakers over Sixers, 81 was Celtics over Rockets, 82 was Lakers over Sixers, 83 was Sixers over Lakers, then 84 was Celtics over Lakers. So there was like 3 or 4 years before they finally met, but never like 9 years of two players appearing like that. So, you know, kind of a shame we never got to see them square off in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, probably would have made for a hell of a final series. You know, the strongest bandwagon fans against each other.
Two of the most hated and loved players at the same time.
Yeah.
all kinds of excitement and hatred flying around. So, yeah.
You know, plenty of those two and four jokes and all that stuff could have gone around and all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll just... Oh.
And for all the Jordan crying memes that are going around, especially in the wake of the Super Bowl, if that did come to pass, obviously one has to win and one has to lose, and they both lost in the finals a couple of times. Maybe a new meme with Jordan with one of his cigars. You know, 6-0 boys, 6-0.
Yeah, we definitely need a new meme, kind of over the crying Jordan one.
Yeah. Although watching the head bounce around in the place of the ball was kind of funny. The Super Bowl memes, I'll give them that. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 145 of the NLSC podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you once again for all the topic submissions. We do have I'm slurring my words because it's late at night and I've been talking a lot. Thank you for all the topic submissions. We did get a couple that we are going to hold over until future episodes, a couple we're going to revisit. We appreciate them. Keep them coming. Keep your comments coming on the in the forum and on the news post. We love to hear from you, whether you are having problems with the show or you're enjoying it. We want to hear, you know, hopefully we want to hear that you're enjoying it. If nothing else, if there's any problems with the sound or anything, let us know, because we obviously wanted to make this a good show for you to listen to every week, so... Let us know if there's any problems. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and what you want us to talk about. So, you know, let us have it in the comments or the forum. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher if you want to listen to us on the go. Keep streaming it on the site, of course, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying it. That's the main thing. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com. But until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And enjoy All-Star Weekend. See you next week.
See you next week, folks.